As the adults are being seated, I invite children of any age to come forward. And if you want to bring a parent, a grandparent, a friend up with you, that is great. I love seeing all these music camp t-shirts. You all worked really hard this week and really blessed us this morning with your singing. Ooh, look at them all. Wonderful. This is great. Special welcome to our friends from Belmont. We're really glad to have you with us this morning. So we are in the middle of the 13th chapter of Matthew this morning. And Jesus has been telling some stories. Stories, we call them parables. Any of you heard the word parable before? It's just an extra long word for story. Jesus was trying to teach people about God and about what life with God looks like. And he had this wonderful way of not using big words, but telling simple stories. And all three of the stories, that one that we heard last week and this week and next week, have to do with gardening or farming. And as I thought about it, in each of the stories, there's something about seeds. A seed. And it made me think about how God plants in each and every one of you, and each and every one of us here today, and in every single person on the whole wide earth, a seed of God's love. And our job is to know that it's there, to say thank you to God, and to do everything we can to help that seed grow by loving God and loving other people, being kind, saying our prayers, reading our Bible, coming to church to worship, doing things for people who need help. That's part of how we help the seed of God's love grow in us. And part of what we need to do, too, is to help other people know that the seed of God's love is in them. So we're sort of gardeners for God. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you so much for loving us. Just as we celebrated the baptism of little Mac and helped to tell him, even as small as he is, that God's love is inside of him, help us to know that your love is inside us too, and that we're meant to share it. Help that seed of your love grow into a beautiful tree, a beautiful flower of love within us. Thank you so much. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening. You can go back to your seats, rejoin your parents, grandparents, or your friends. Some of you may be wondering where I was last week. I had someone joking with me in the narthex before the 8:45 service. Well, you preached on Sabbath and then you left. We thought you were taking a long Sabbath already. Actually, I was at a family reunion. This is a tradition that's been part of my life and part of my family, and one from which you'll probably hear many stories in the months and years ahead. We call it camp meeting. And every year, I gather with 600 of my closest relatives on a campground just outside of Brownsville, Tennessee. We stay in these rustic cabins, which are now, thank goodness, the bedrooms at least have air conditioning units. And we worship two times a day, or three times if you get up early to go to prayer meeting. It's an old Methodist camp meeting. It's been going on since 1826, when the five Taylor brothers settled that land and called together their neighbors for a revival. So, I have been revived, and I have been with my family, and I've still got the red dirt of West Tennessee on my feet. It was a wonderful week. One of the things I love doing when I'm at camp meeting is getting up early and going to prayer meeting, and then taking a walk down Tabernacle Road from the church where we worship down the road toward where my grandmother's old house is. I never make it all the way to her house because then I would miss breakfast. But I take that walk almost every day. And as I walk along Tabernacle Road, looking to the right and to the left, Basically, all I see is farmland. Rows and rows and rows of cotton and soybeans and corn, and there's even one field that had sunflowers in it. And it's just beautiful. And I admire those fields of crops and how neat the rows are. And I have several cousins and family members who are farmers in West Tennessee. And I love hearing from them how farming works and all of their knowledge around how to make a good crop. It is not easy work. And as I listen to them talking about farming, I start wondering how in the world I missed that skill. That gene did not land in my chromosomes because I cannot grow anything to save my life. I am not a gardener. But as we look at these parables of Jesus in the 13th chapter of Matthew, even I know that there's some funny gardening going on. If you were here last week, you heard Brandon explore with you the story of the sower, where the farmer goes out with a bunch of seeds and just scatters them everywhere. It seems like he loses 3/4 of the seeds. That doesn't seem like very wise farming to me. I wonder what my cousins and relatives would think of that if I suggested it as a farming technique. And then when we get to this story today, the story of the wheat and the weeds, it seems like an unorthodox technique of farming. You remember the story? The farmer goes out into the field and sows good wheat. But in the night, while everyone's asleep, an enemy comes and sows weeds into the field. And as the crops begin to grow, it's obvious to the people who work on the farm, the reapers, that there are weeds mixed in with the wheat. And so they go to the farmer and say, "Don't you want us to pull the weeds?" And he says, "No, just leave it be. When harvest time comes, we'll take the whole crop and I'll sort it out. Don't pull the weeds." I mean, even as a child, that was one of my chores, to go into the garden and pull weeds. Weeds get in the way of plants growing, don't they? They can draw up all the nutrients from the soil. They can take over a garden so your plants don't flower or bear fruit. What kind of gardener is this that doesn't want the weeds pulled? It's exactly that kind of tension that draws our attention and makes us wonder what Jesus is trying to tell us about God. "Don't pull the weeds," says the farmer, "because in doing so, you'll damage the good wheat. It could do a lot of damage." So what is it that this parable means? Parables always mean many things. But one of the things I think this means is that it's not our job to sort out the wheat from the weeds. It's not our job to determine the good from the bad. And Jesus makes it clear in his explanation of this parable that when we talk about the crop, we're talking about people. This is one of the few parables that Jesus explains to his disciples. The parable of the sower was another one. But he says to them that the wheat are the children of light, those who follow the way of Christ, who are trying to live God's way. And the weeds are those who refuse to live in God's way. And they're all mixed in together. And so Jesus is trying to tell his listeners it is not up to anyone except God to determine who is who, who's in and who's out, who's a child of light and a child of darkness. That is not your job, Jesus says. There are some who say Matthew included this parable in his gospel because there were lots of Christian communities in Matthew's day who were obsessed with keeping the church pure. They didn't want certain kinds of people in the church, and so they had a bad reputation for weeding people out. And Matthew includes this parable in Jesus' gospel to say, that's not your job, church. That's not your job. It's not only in Matthew's day, is it? Christian communities and churches, even in our own day, spend so much time and energy focused on determining who is in and who is out, who is worthy and who is not worthy. Maybe you've experienced some of that. I have a friend who was part of a church all of her life, grew up in the church, loved the people. When she got to be an adult, she taught Sunday school, she sang in the choir, she gave generously, she was an integral part of that congregation, and then she went through a divorce. And the pastor called her in and said, "You can't teach Sunday school anymore. You can come to worship, but you can't have any responsibilities. You can't be in ministry anymore in this church because you're divorced." And it broke her heart. There are congregations and churches and Christian communities who say, "You can't come here if you're not straight. You're not welcome. You're out. You're not worthy." Jesus said, the farmer told the reapers, "If you pull the weeds, if you try pulling the weeds, you will do damage." And boy, has the church done great damage, not only to individual people who have felt pushed out, but to our witness in the world. You've probably heard it before. There have been many surveys, but there was a Barna survey done of millennials, young adults, asking non-churchgoers what their impression was of Christians. And the number one word used to describe Christians by 87% of the respondents to the survey was judgmental. Is that our witness in the world? Now I know it's not the witness of this congregation. I've got the t-shirt, and I've worn the t-shirt that says God loves everyone unconditionally. And in our newsletter that's coming out, you can hear read stories of people who've been touched by that message on those shirts. It makes our mission even more urgent in our world to offer a different kind of witness of Christ's love. And to remember, it is not our job to decide who's in and who's out, who's worthy and who isn't. In fact, if we look at the explanation of the parable that Jesus gives his disciples, it's nowhere near our job. He says, the farmer is the Son of Man. Jesus himself, God, sowing the seeds that are good. The enemy is the evil one who comes and sows weeds in the field. The reapers, the one that the farmer says, don't pull the weeds, the reapers are the angels. Well, wait, what does that make us then? We are the grass. We are the crop. And as I think about those fields of cotton and soybeans and corn, I think, if I were one of those plants, I couldn't tell what was a weed and what wasn't. I don't have God's view of people. We don't know the full story behind someone. We don't know their whole heart. We can't see what God sees. And so, Jesus says, it is not our job. So what is our job? I think our job is to be the best stalks of wheat that we can be. So grounded in the love and grace of Jesus Christ that we can grow in his love and in his likeness each and every day. Reminded every day of the grace and forgiveness and love that has accepted us as we are, and staying rooted in that and humble enough to recognize we don't see what God sees. To be the best stalks of wheat that we can be. Now let me give a little parenthetical thing, whatever the word would be. I don't think this parable is saying that in the community of faith, anything goes. You just love everybody and don't worry about it. I don't think that's Jesus' message. Too much of his teaching and too many of the teachings of Paul and James and so many others in Scripture tell us otherwise. It is important for us as a community of faith to speak the truth to one another in love, to be willing to say to each other, I'm not sure you're living up to the calling of Christ in this situation. This doesn't meet the standard of love that Christ set for us. It's not easy to do. But I do think that's part of loving community. Some of you may remember Judy Hoffman, who was on staff here a few years ago. We were at a clergy meeting not too long ago, and she said something that really stuck with me and was very helpful. She said, everybody is welcome at the table. Everybody is welcome at the table, but not every behavior is. It's not okay to be abusive. It's not okay to use our power to manipulate others. It's not okay to be greedy and step on other people for our own advancement. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, has all sorts of lists of things that are not okay in the church. But we speak to one another grounded in that love of Christ with the goal that all of us might grow to be good wheat in the world. When you think about it, this parable really is good news. It feels like good news to me. We don't have to worry about figuring other people out. We don't have to carry the burden of standing at the door to decide who's in and who's out. That's not our job, thanks be to God. Our job is to love as God loves, to love God and love neighbor, and be the best field of wheat that we can be for the good of God's world. May it be so.